Welcome. We just celebrated Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it is our custom to begin the subject of Pesach and to start getting the feeling of the holiday and start discussing the subjects. Of course, our holidays are so rich and they're so filled with meaning and mitzvot and different kavanah that our rabbis told us already from 30 days before the holiday one must begin to prepare. And I'll tell you a chidush, that not only before the holiday must you prepare, but we must prepare, or we must also have a post-holiday discussion. We work so hard to prepare for the holiday. 30 days, and the ladies are cleaning, and the men are preparing chidushim for the Haggadah Shel Pesach, and to understand all the mitzvot. And the holiday, 7 days, everybody's working and doing all the mitzvot with kedusha. The holiday's over, finished. Next, everyone goes back to their old way. So I will tell you now that just as we're going to prepare before the holiday, there's also room to discuss the holiday even after. Our holidays don't end on a dime and you move away. We just begin to get the feeling of the Hag. So there's a before, there's a during, and there's an after. This class would be over here, the before. The Torah calls the holiday Hag HaMasot. Hag HaMasot, and we see many restrictions on the subject of Hametz. The Torah says, Tashbitu Se'or Mibattechim. One must eradicate, one must get rid of Hametz from his home. You never find this by any other mitzvah. Hazir, a person has something taref in his house. There's no law that you have to get rid of it. We don't make bidikat taref. The person had hazir in his cupboard. He doesn't have a mitzvah to take the hazir and go burn it in a fire or flush it down a toilet. But when it comes to hametz, already all the arba asar butkin it the hametz to orhaner. They made you take a light. They made you go around. They made you look under the bed. They make you look everywhere. And if you didn't search for it and you left it in your house and you wanted it there, the punishment is from the most serious punishments that our Torah has. Isur karet. If you have it in your house, or if you eat it, already the punishment. And look how stringent they were. Normally we have a law that says batel b'shishim. The lady's making a piece of meat. She has a tafshil, and a drop of milk falls in the tafshil. We say so long as she has 60 times the amount of meat against the drop of milk. Mutar, the famous law, Batil B'Shishim. When it comes to Hametz, Hametz Afilu Be'elef Lo Batil. Meaning, B'Mashihu, you have a drop in 10,000. The whole 10,000 becomes Asur. Look how far the Torah went when it came to the law of Isur of eating Hametz. And the question is, why? Is there maybe a message that the Torah is coming to teach us that lies behind this mitzvah of getting rid of the hametz? It should be pointed out, and it's interesting, that the ingredients of hametz and matzah are basically the same. Flour and water. So while the ingredients are the same, there is a basic difference between hametz and matzah. I don't know if anybody ever went to a matzah factory, but it's very exciting to go see the factory. You have a fellow that's standing in a room, and he has a big metal bowl, and there's a clock, and everybody's in position waiting to do their job, and there's a fellow standing on the other side of the wall, with the door, and he opens the window of the door, and he holds in his hand a cup of flour, and when they're ready to start the process, he pours it in the bowl. He pours it in the bowl, then he takes special water, pours it into the bowl, and the kneader starts to mix and mix and mix and mix, and everybody starts working. He's mixing, mixing, mixing. Now he has the dough. And he doesn't stop working. He doesn't stop working the dough for a second. Then he passes it to the next man, and he works it. He works it. He brings it to the table. The man on the table gives it out to all the ladies that are standing, and they all take a little piece, and they start working it. They make it into a flatbread. Then they scream, ready, ready, ready. Oh, the man comes with a big stick. They come with a stick, they take the matzah, they put it on the stick, they bring it to the next table. The next table, they put it down. He has a metal apparatus where he goes like this back and forth, like this to make holes in the matzah. Then ready, oh, they take it back, they put it on a stick again, they run inside to the next room over there, into the oven, and they stick it right into the oven, and the man is standing over there for a couple of minutes when it's in the oven, less than that, it's very hot, the oven. They take the marda, the long spatula, and they stick it in, and they pull it out, and it's in the box already. The whole process, each round, like you said, not more than 18 minutes. It's very exciting, it's a lot of action, it's fun-filled, it's a lot of movement, a lot of activity going on. No question about it. On the other hand, if one ever went to a bakery in the beginning of the process, it starts off the same way, but it's almost anticlimactic. You have the same bowl, and you have the flour, and they pour it in, and he mixes, and that's it. He puts it on the side, and they wait. And they all sit. And all the people are watching. Hey, where's the action? Where's the hustle and bustle? Where's the noise? Where's the movement? No, come back in 2 hours. Come back in 3 hours. What are you waiting for? We have to wait till it rises. So the basic difference between hametz and matzah represents action. Matzah represents movement. While hametz represents atzlut. Hametz represents laziness, inactivity, just sitting, and then it becomes big. Well, the hametz never has a chance to rise. Well, the matzah never has a chance to rise. What is the message? The message is, in life, we have to be a matzah and not a hametz. Matzah is always something happening to it. It's always being worked. In life, men have great potential. Ladies also. And we always have to elevate ourselves to reach our potential. And we can never be satisfied. And we can never be seveya. We can never be satiated. Which is the problem of most people. They're comfortable. Baruch Hashem, I'm on a nice level, I learn a little Torah, I go to Knesset a little, I give a little charity. Everybody's happy with the level that they're on, and they're not interested on working on themselves to get better. Just like the chametz. Put it on the counter, leave it there. We have to be like matzah, where we're constantly being worked on, where we're constantly moving, like the Pasuk says, ונתתי לך מלאכים בין העומדים האלה. And the Mefarshim explained, what is עומדים? מלאכים, very good. מלאכים are called עומדים. Why? עומד means to stand. To be stagnant. Not to move. Angels do not grow. They are created on a certain madriga. They stay on that level from when they are born until they expire. They are umdim. But the Pasuk says, "V'natati lecha mahalachim ben ha'umdim ha'ele." Human beings are called holchim. What does holchim mean? Holchim, one that walks, one that moves. And that's a basic difference between man and an angel. Man has the ability to go on the ladder of potential, step after step, to reach greatness. And the Midrash, in the name of Rav Berachia, compares two great men, Noah and Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rav Berachia says, Noah, in the beginning of his career, is called Noah Ish Sadiq. But at the end of his life, the Torah calls him Noah Ish Ha'adama. Noah went from being the righteous man to the man of the ground. It seems there was a lapse in the elevation of Noah. Sadiq, the next level is Hasid, the next level is Kadosh, the next level is, his level's higher. He stopped at Sadiq and then there was a detour, there was a little Oseh Shalom, there was a little backpedaling. And he ended up Isha Adama. Moshe Rabbeinu is in the beginning of his life called Ish Misri. And at the end of his life, in the last parashah in the Torah, V'zot ha-beracha asher berach Moshe Ish ha-Elohim et b'nei Yisrael et b'nei Moto. At the end of his life, he's called the man of God, which means Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly traveling ma'ala ma'ala. He was always going up. And he elevated himself from Ish Misri to Ish Elohim, and that's the message. We always have to be traveling northbound. We always have to be traveling up. Some travel a little faster than others. But the ikar, the main thing is, where is your direction? Were you able to calculate that in 1 year from now you'll be more religious than you are today? Or according to the path that you're on, in 1 year from now, you'll be less religious? That's the way you have to look at it. In the way you're set up, in your environment, will it lead to more Yahadut, to more spirituality? Or in the way we're set up, will it lead to less? We have to elevate ourselves from Ish Misri, from Ish Amerikai, to eventually become Ish HaElohim, and it's in our capability. The Rambam says, Kol Adam Ra'ui Lihiyot Sadiq Kemoshe Rabbeinu. Don't be fooled. You shouldn't let the Yetzer Allah con us into believing, what am I, who am I? Ma ani ma hayai. False humility, making us feel that we do not have potential. Haramam says every Jew has a potential to become as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. That shows us the limit, limitless amount of potential that man has. And therefore we cannot be passive. We cannot take an inactive role in our lives. We have to be like the matzah. And even after that, Rabotai, after Moshe Rabbeinu reached a high level of Isha Elohim, you know what he says? Parashat Va'et Hanan. Hashem Elohim, Ata ha'chilota leharot et avdecha. After he reached the Madrega where he saw God panim el panim, he went up to Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, he says, God, now you are only beginning to show me. At the end of his career, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm just starting. I'm just beginning to show you. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, it's limitless how far you can go. And therefore we should never sell ourselves short. We should never be satisfied. We should never be happy with the madriga that we're on. The Pasuk says, Sulam musav arsa, v'rosho magia ashamayma, u'malache Elohim, olim v'yoredim bo. This ladder is referring to the ladder of spirituality. There are people going up on the ladder, and there are people going down on the ladder. And the Gaon Mevilna points out a very important musav. He says, most people are under the misconception that there are three directions. There's moving up, there's moving down, and there's neutral. The guys that are traveling north, the guys that are traveling south, and the people that are parked in the parking lot. That they're in neutral, that they're in park. And the Gaon de Biliyahu says, that that's a mistake. He says a tremendous chidush. He says there's only two directions. Either going up or going down. There's no such thing as being in neutral in religion. It's an impossibility. If you're in neutral, you're going down. And they explain it with a mashal. A person is on an airplane. The airplane has four engines. The engines are put on and the engines elevate the plane to a high level, 36,000 feet. And it's flying. What would happen if those engines would be shut? Already would fall. Well, we don't say no. We don't say if the engines are closed, the plane won't go higher. We say no, not only won't it go higher, but it's automatically going to fall. The gravity of the earth is going to suck the plane back. I mean, it doesn't happen that when the engines are off, you just coast. When the engine is off, you fall. You have to make an active energy against the nature. And the same thing in life. When one is making inroads in religion, and one is working at elevating himself, he'll grow. But if one is lazy, and by the way, the nature of a person is to be lazy, because we are made out of the laziest element on earth, and that is earth itself. That is dust. Ki afar ata, vel afar tashuv. Is there any more lazy element on earth than dust? What does it do all day, the dust? Sleeps. Rests. And if you go and hit it, some of it elevates off the ground and then comes right back down. It's dormant. And human beings are made out of that. So it is our nature not to want to move. When a person is sitting on the couch and his mother or his brother or his brother, sister or his wife, could you bring me something? I'm too tired to get up. Where does that come from? That comes from the dust, from the earth that you're created from. It's very difficult to make movement, inertia. It's very hard to move. Well, the more so when it comes in religion, the laziness sets in. So if a person thinks, I'm happy on the level that I'm at, automatically you begin to fall. Life is like a down escalator. If you're not moving up, you're moving down. You have to be an active player in growing in religion. And this is how the Gaon de Bilyahu explains the Pasuk. Ora Hayim, the way of life, Lemala Lemaskir. Limitless, Lemala Lemaskir, more than you can imagine. It's limitless the amount of things you can accomplish in life. Lema Ansur Mishe'ol Mata. What does that mean? The levels are so high to keep you away from the depths. And the rabbi explains that elevating yourself doesn't only benefit you in the heights that you'll reach, but it stops you from reaching the depths. Telling us that there's no path. Either milk or meat. There's no middle. There's no park. There's no neutral. The Sadoka Kohen says a very interesting observation. The first time I saw it this week. He says the world is round. And that shape is a common shape in the creation. Round. The sun, round like a bowl. The moon, round like a bowl. The mountains have a roundness like a ball. The human body itself, the eyes are round, head is round, ears are round. He says everything is round, like a ball. This is why we could have had square heads. Some people do. We could have had a square world, like people thought we had. What does this shape represent? And he says, a ball, when you place it on a table or you place it down, it moves. It rolls. A ball doesn't stay steady. A ball is always turning. A square, you put it down, stays where it is. A rectangle, triangle, all the other shapes, place them down as a base. It stays. But a ball has no base. A ball constantly moves, and that's the message of creation, he says. That you have to be like a kadur. You have to be like a ball. You always have to be moving. You always have to be going to the next level. You always have to be doing the next subject. The next shi'ur, the next class, the next mitzvah, the next project. Never to be like chametz, that's just sitting on the counter, waiting for somebody to deal with it. Your life has to be active like a matzah factory, where there's always constant hustle bustle. There's always constant movement. But the rabbis explained that the yetzer hara in a person, the evil inclination as we know it, it is compared to chametz. He is the chametz. He is the leaven inside of us that tries to stagnate us, that tries to preserve us from moving. One rabbi said, it's like a pickle. You take a cucumber, you put it in a jar with vinegar, and you seal it. And it becomes a pickle. For cucumbers, pickling is fine. But when a human being pickles himself, this already is dangerous. When a human being preserves himself and he locks himself in, I don't want to change. A lot of times we hear the old timers, this is what we do, this is our way, we don't want to change, we don't want to hear anything. It could be the way. But now we have to update. Already they're up to Windows 98. In everything in life, you always have to move to the next madriga. You can't stay still. You have to be like a ball, which is always rolling somewhere, and always moving. So comes the Arizal and says, Or le'arba'a asar bodkin et ha'metz le'or ha'ner. He says, Or le'arba'a asar. The night before the 14th, the night before boy becomes bar mitzvah, before the 14th, and when he's 13 years old, bodkin et ha'chametz, what's the chametz? The yetzer hara. Le'or ha'ner, he has to make introspection in himself to eradicate that yetzer hara from him. There was one rabbi making bidikat ha'chametz, he spent a long time. And he was looking and looking and looking, hours. After he finished Bidikat Hametz, his student came to him and said, Rabbi, after this Bidikah, you didn't leave Hametz anywhere. He says, no, one place there's still some Hametz. He says, where? And he rips open his shirt and he starts pounding on his heart. He says, there's still Hametz in here. And that's the Bidikah, that's the Hametz the Torah is talking about. When the Torah says, Teshbitu se'on mebatechem, bal yira'e, bal yimatzeh, get rid of the chametz, don't eat chametz. This is all hinting to the yetzer hara. This is all hinting to the evil inclination that tries to fool us into believing, you're okay, don't worry, you're fine. Don't do anything. That's the crazy people. That's the people that have their nose in the wall. They're crazy, they're zealots, they're extremists, ultra-orthodox. You're fine on the level you are, be happy. That's the chametz, that's the yeast like we say in the Tefillah and Yom Kippurim, Ribono shel Olam, Galui v'yadua lefanecha. It's known in front of you, Sheresonenu la'asot resonecha. You know, by nature, we want to do your will. Ela she'seor sheba'isa me'akev. The se'or sheba'isa, the yeast that's in the dough, is what's stopping us. That's the mashal the rabbis gave to the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara fools us into believing you're okay, you're fine, don't change, you're good. And we have to remember that that's Atzat Yetzer Hara, and therefore you make Bi'ur Hametz. Pesach, there's so many mitzvot. And the reason why it's such a packed time for mitzvot, because that's the whole message of the holiday. You gotta do. Haggadah shel Pesach, Achilat Matzah, Achilat Maror, Korech. Then you have the Tefillot, and then you have the Hallel, and then you have the Sefer Torah, and then you have all the Halachot. It's a holiday that you can fulfill so many mitzvot. Keep you busy, but that's the lesson you gotta do. You have to do more. Never be satisfied. It's not like when you eat and come off the table, sahaw hana, sahtin, you're full. That's not like that. In religion, there's never satiate. You're never full. There's never enough. The Hafetz Chaim gives a mashal. The Hafetz Chaim's mashal, he says, there was a businessman, in the olden days, they used to take carriages with horses. And the businessman gets on the carriage and he tells the eglon, he tells the driver, make sure you don't fall asleep late at night. And he's sitting in the back, he's doing his paperwork, and the eglon, sure enough, falls asleep. And he falls asleep and the horses start to turn off the path and they start falling into ditches and they start crashing, and the balabai say, what's going on over here? Mr. Eglon, wake up! And he finally wakes him up, and the Eglon turns around and says, it's true I fell asleep, but I'm shocked at these horses. I can't believe they went off the path. They know the road. The Baal HaBayit says, you're talking like a horse. You have no understanding. A horse is only under control when you're holding the reins. But if you let the horse go by itself, it's bound to sway off the path. It's bound to make a wrong turn. If a person is not going to consciously put effort in his elevation, if he's not going to work at becoming better, you're going to become worse, because the magnet of Olam Hazeh is pushing us. Human beings without reins, without control, automatically will turn to Olam Hazeh. Automatically will turn to the pitfalls of this world. That's by nature we're drawn to that. It's like a magnet. If you're not going to pull yourself away from it, automatically you'll get drawn in. So those that say, I'll play it by ear, happy-go-lucky, we'll see how it comes out, I don't have to be so active and do so much, is that Hashem, it'll come out, Hashem Yirachem. This is false betachon. He has betachon all of a sudden. Yeah, Hashem Yirachem, is that Hashem, it'll work out. If a person doesn't take it into his own hands, his spiritual development, it'll be like a horse that doesn't have a driver. It's bound that you will sway and you will go off the path. There was a great rabbi called Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. He was a student of Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai had five students. Who were the five students? Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanos. Rabbi Yoseh HaKohen. Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel. And Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. These are the five students of Rabbi Yohanan. He said about his students, Im yehyu kol chachmei Yisrael bekaf moznaim echad V'Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus v'Chaf Hasheni. All the rabbis on one side of this camp. And Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus on the other side, Hu haya machriya et kulam. He would outweigh all the Hachamim. Elazar ben Hyrcanus was a giant. They said on him, Bor seed she'enu me'abed tipa. Anything you told Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, he would remember. He was like a computer. Whatever Rabbi Yohanan would teach, well, repeat it. He'd give it out. Bor seed, like a well that's paved. She'enu me'abed tipa, doesn't lose a drop. Abba Shaul omer m'shemo, Abba Shaul said in the name of his rabbi, Im yiyu kol chachmei Yisrael v'chaf moznayim mechad. For all the rabbis of Israel will be on one side of the scale. Ve'ab Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus immahim. And put Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus with them. Ve'Rabbi Elazar ben Arach v'chaf ha'sheniya huwa ya machriyat kulam. Look at this. Put all the hachamim on one side. And Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. And put Rabbi Elazar ben Arach on the other side of the scale, he would outweigh them. It was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach that once was walking with his rabbi and started to give a dirasha on Ma'aseh Merkabah, on the famous chariot in Shamayim, the famous chapter in Yehezkel that talks about the different chariot in heaven, which is a very deep subject that only the great Hachamim of the generation understand it. It's correct. And he started giving it to Rasha, and Rabbi Yohanan, his rabbi, got off the donkey. He says, Rabbi, why are you getting off the donkey? He says, if Shah, is it possible you're going to be talking about Ma'asim and Kaban, and all the angels have come down from heaven to listen to you, that I shouldn't get off my donkey? And as he was talking, a fire came down from heaven and started to burn all the bushes and all the trees in the yard, in the field. And the angels came down and started to sing and dance and say, Hen, hen, ma'aseh merkabah. You got it. Perfect. This is exactly what the merkabah is. The malachim testified on the wisdom of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Came Rabbi Yohanan, and he kissed his student on the forehead. Ashrecha Abraham Avinu Shiyatza Zuma Alatzecha. Fortunate are you, Abraham Avinu, that you have a great great grandson like this. This was Rabbi Elazar ben Arach that got the praise of Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. But there's a postscript, there's a PS to the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. At the end of his life, he moved to a place called Damasit. It was a resort area. There was nice waters. There was a comfortable place. Baruch Hashem, he learned all his life. Now he wanted to relax. And shortly after that, it was Parashat HaChodesh. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And they invited him to the Aliyah. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. And he got up and he said, HaCheresh Haya Libam. Instead of reading HaChodesh, he read HaCheresh. Instead of reading Hazeh, he read Haya. Instead of Lachem, he read Libam. All the people, Shema Yisrael. Geon Ozenu, the great rabbi of the generation, makes a mistake in the sefer that even a second grader knows. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. And the Mefarshim explained that he forgot his learning. He began to forget his Torah because he let up. He went into park for a couple of years. He felt, listen, Magia Aliksat, I deserve a little vacation. And because of that, Borei Olam gave him a hint. HaHeresh Haya Libam, their hearts became deafened. Their minds became closed. Like the Gemara says, Im Ta'azveni Yom, Yomayim Azveka. When you leave the Torah for one day, Torah leaves you for 2 days. 10 years of learning will be forgotten in 5 years. Because when you're not elevating yourself, there's a yiridah, there's a fall. And look, im ba'arazim naflash shal hevet. If in the cedar woods the fire hit, bilazar bin arach, gadol ha-chachamim, hen, hen, ma'aseh merkaba. And look what happened. Because there was a break. There was a lapse. There was a stop. And I'm thinking now. I'm telling you, I'm thinking now as I'm telling it to you. When the Rabbi Yochanan praised him, he said, Ashrecha Avraham Abinu Shiatzazu Mehalatecha. Why did he say Avraham Abinu? Ashrecha Yitzhak, Ashrecha Yaakov. What do you even have to Ashrecha, Ashre Yolatecha? What do you mention Avraham Abinu? Maybe we could say, if you remember Avraham Abinu on the day of the Akedah, where he took his son who was 37 years old and put him on the Mizbeah. And after he put him on the Mizbeah, he was about to slaughter him, and Borei Olam comes and says, Avraham, Avraham, Al tishlach yadecha lana'ar, v'al ta'asbu l'uma. Don't do anything, don't make a move, don't blemish him. Rabotai, after such a day, such a traumatic experience, what do you think after Yitzhak Avinu and Abraham Avinu, they get off the altar, what do you think they did after that? You might think they went home, they took a little break, they relaxed. Listen, not every day is a person put on the altar with a knife to his neck to be killed by his own father and then saved at the last moment. Logic would tell us Yitzhak deserved a 2-week vacation. Hey, maybe to go home, make a sabbat, drink a l'chaim, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Mehayim Etim. But you have to recover. Today we have much less excuses why we don't go to work. A worker will call, I have a little cold, I saw somebody in an accident, I passed the hospital, I can't come to work. Hey, Yitzhak Avinu was on the Mizbeah. His life was threatened and he was saved. And you know what it says? On the way home, it says Avraham came home alone. They said, where was Yitzhak? He dropped him off at Yeshivat Shem V'Aivir. Take a vacation, relax a little. No. The way of the Sadiqim is they never took a break. They went from one madriga to another madriga. Yilechu mechayil ilchayil. They went from one strength to another. You know why? Because they had momentum. They built up momentum. They're learning. So it's easier. You can get much quicker to the next madriga instead of stopping and going. It's like a person that wants to heat up water. He puts it on the fire. It's about to get hot. He takes it off. Puts it on again. It's about to get hot. He takes it off. He never lets it boil. The way of the Sadiqim was they never took a break. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan was telling his student. Rabbi Elazar, your greatness is Avraham Avinu would be proud of you. Avraham taught us, next, you did one thing good, now don't be happy, don't say, Baruch Hashem, Yatzati Yedei Chavati, now I can relax. No! En Sadiqim Menuha Ba'olam Hazeh. Sadiqim have no rest in this world. Ve'lo Ba'olam Haba either, it says. But in this world, they're always moving. Elazar ben Arach, the reason why you reached your greatness is because you moved. You were like the matzah. But what happened? At the end of his life, there was a little hametz. It was Se'or Shebe'isa Shayam Me'akev. There's a story told of one of the rabbis, the Rabbi Meir Mipar Mishlan. He was on a carriage with his son-in-law. And they were on a very dangerous mountain, and the horses started to run loose, and there was a danger because there was a lot of pitfalls. There was a danger they might fall off the mountain. So the son-in-law is shaking. He turns to his father-in-law, Rabbi Meir. He says, Rabbi, maybe we should jump off even though we'll bruise ourselves, but at least we'll be saved. We might fall off the mountain. And the rabbi had a tremendous bitachon. He says, go take the reins and guide the horses and everything will be okay. He says, but listen to what I told you. And he went and he took the reins in his hand, he starts to guide, and he starts to, and sure enough, right, left, he's guiding himself. He finally gets them to a rest stop. Baruch Hashem, he tells his father, Baruch Hashem, you were right, the skill of his voice. And as they're enjoying and as they're rejoicing, the horse takes two steps, boom, falls into a well, the carriage turned over, both the rabbi and the son-in-law fell out under the horse. So as the rabbi's under the horse, he turns to his son-in-law, he says, did you get the musar? He said, what's the musar? He says, that's the yetzer hara. The yetzer hara, as long as you're controlling him, as long as you're guiding him, there's no way he'll let you fall. You're controlling him. But once you relax, once you stop, once you take a break, boom, he's waiting for you. He falls, drops you right in. You could never take a break from this. It always has to be on your mind. It has to be consistency. If they would take a break in the matzah bakery, imagine? Imagine in the middle of the process, the ladies would say, oh, we're tired, oh, let's take a break. All of a sudden, all the matzah over there, they'd be feeding hametz to the whole world. Everybody would be getting isur keret. And the lady says, what do you mean? Magi Ali, I'm working from 6 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening or 10 o'clock in the evening. I want to take a 20-minute break. I say, 20-minute break? Hametz! That's exactly what happens when we don't strive to the next madriga. The only question that you might ask yourselves, do we really have this ability? Do we really have the ability to become like Moshe Rabbeinu? Do we have the ability to become great, great people of religion, great scholars of Talmud, great legislators of the law of the Torah, great commentators, great understanders of the Bible? They're simple people. We're happy if we can understand the derashah of the rabbi. We're happy if we could pray in the morning. Again, the pickle. We have already accepted the fact that we're pickles. That's not, whatever madriga we're on, freeze it, put it on ice. And we're saying tonight, no. You have to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish Misri, and in the end you're going to end up Isha Elohim. Not to start off Ish Amerikai and end up Pere Adam. You always have to be going north, not going south. And it's all dependent on the Rasul, on your will. There's a saying they have in English, they probably stole it from somewhere in the Torah. Where there's a will, there's a way. En davar omed b'fnei harason. There's nothing that stands in the way of a will. The great rabbi of Zalman from Vilna, he was sitting and learning one time. He needed a sefer. The sefer was behind the bookcase. He went, he lifted a bookcase that three people can carry. He lifted it by himself. He went, he got the sefer. They told him, Rabbi, you're Gebor Hayil, where did you get the strength from? He says, I needed the sefer. You see, when a person has a desire to do something, already he has the energy in him and the energy will come out. Many times we hear stories of Ben Menachem where there's a fire in the house. And you have a person, he lifts himself, his wife, his children, his possessions. He's able to carry things that six people can't carry. Why? He has a rasul. He has a will. When he has a will, he's able to accomplish the impossible. You tell a person to run around the block, and half of the block already, he stops, he has to take a break, he can't catch his breath. But if somebody's chasing him for his life, he's able to run for miles. And he doesn't even feel it. Why? Because he has a rasul. There's an interesting Gemara in Baba Metziar. The Gemara Baba Metziar says, you have a case of a roi, of a shepherd. The shepherd left the flock for a couple of moments, came a ze'ev, a wolf, and ate one of the sheep. So the Gemara says, he's patur. He's exempt. He doesn't have to pay. Why? We don't say that if he was there, he'd be able to save the sheep. Even if he was there, well, there'd be no difference. The wolf comes, the wolf is going to devour the sheep regardless. So it doesn't matter whether he's there or not. So he's patur. Comes to Gemara and says, why? Maybe if he was there, the pasuk that's written by David, Gam ha'ari v'gam et ha'ze'ev ika'avdecha, maybe that would have happened. Maybe he would get the strength to beat it. You see what the Gemara is saying over here? The Gemara wants to obligate the shepherd because maybe if he was there and the wolf came to devour the sheep, maybe he'd get the energy and the strength to rip apart the ze'ev like David HaMelech. Where does the strength come from? The strength comes from Rason. The strength comes from a desire. If you have an urge to do something, and you have a will to do it, nothing is impossible. Everything is your incapability. And this is not only, by the way, in religion. This should be your philosophy in life. Because if a person has that philosophy, become a great businessman, he'll become a great leader. In anything he does, if he's always driven by a ratzon, there's a limitless amount of potential where he can go to. There's a interesting midrash that tells us in the name of Rabbi Natan, when the Jews fought against Midian, Rabbi Natan says the way they fought them, they surrounded them by three sides and left the fourth side open. Come to the rabbis and ask, why leave a fourth side open? Why box the enemy in all four sides? He has no option. He has no choice. He has to save himself. Then he might get the energy to defeat the enemy. But if he has a way out, if he can run away from the fourth corner, then already his energy will be limited. And from there the Rambam learns the halakha. That way, it's a tactic. Never boxing your enemy. Always give him a way out. Because if they tell you about a cat, you box a cat in, tach, he lunges at you. Because he knows he has no option. You corner him, he'll get the strength to do it. Never boxing your enemy. Because even though you might be stronger, but he knows he has no choice, his ratzon is strong, he'll get that energy, he'll find it from somewhere and he'll attack. And that's why the Rambam learns the law, when you go to war, always leave a petah, always leave an opening. With this we can explain a Gemara that says, in certain cases in halakha, when two people are fighting for something, two people are fighting for a talit, it's mine. Sometimes the Gemara says we follow the rule of kol de'alim gemar. The stronger one gets it. This is a very strange law. When do we decide halakha, who belongs, who the property belongs to according to the strength? Where's the bet din? Where's the law? Where's the halakha? Where's the Gemara? No. Whoever has the biggest muscle, who's able to pull it, it belongs to him. So I saw one of the Mefarshim explain, called the Alim Gavar, if that talet belonged to you, you would get the strength to pull it to you. So if you are able to be the stronger one, that's an indication that it's yours. Because even a weak man would be able to find the strength to retract and take back things that belong to him. So called the Alim Gabar is an indication of will. And therefore, it's a law of possession. Because if it's yours, you'll find the strength to get it. Uda, before he was sent down, or before he went down to Mitzrayim, his father made him take a vow, a shivua, of arabut. He made him a guarantor on his brother. If he doesn't bring back Binyamin, you could take away my olam hazeh, you could take away my olam abba, ki avdecha arav etanar. And Yaakov Avinu made such strict stipulations. Even if it's anus, even if Binyamin gets attacked on the way by robbers that's out of your control, you're guilty. He left them no options. You're going to be hayab on every account. And the Mefashim explained, you know why Yaakov Avinu did that? Because if he has no options, then already his will becomes strong to make sure he brings back Binyamin. When you corner Yehuda and tell him, if you don't bring him back, I don't care what happens. You're responsible. Then Yehuda is able to find the energy and the strength to make sure that even accidents won't happen. He has the energy to make sure that that child will be brought back to his father, like he did. There was once a lady. The lady bought a car. A new car. Brand new. A couple of weeks later she came back to the deal and she had complaints. She said, everybody is passing me. Everybody's going past me on the highway. What kind of car did you sell? They said, bring it to us. Maybe there's something mistake over here. They went, they brought the mechanics. They looked, they studied it. They said, we don't find anything with the car. She says, you're calling me a liar? We're not calling you a liar. Maybe, let's see. Get in the car, show us how you're driving. She drives, she puts it in gear one. She puts it in gear two. And she's driving. She says, look, everybody's passing me. Put it in gear three. She says, there's a three. There's a four also. There's a four. She says, when I was in driving school, they only showed me one and two. And this is your mistake. There is so much acceleration that you have, but we limit ourselves. For some reason we don't believe that we have the ability. And that's the first thing we have to establish. We have the ability to become great. We have the ability to become like Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to say that every day. Matay yagiyu ma'asai lema'asai abotai Abraham Yitzhak v'Yaakov. We have to have high aspirations. We have to have high goals. Can we finish the Shas? Most certainly. Anybody interested in finishing the Gemara? We have already written ourselves off. Impossible. Next subject. We're happy if we could finish the Shnai Mikra V'Ahad Targum. I can see you. Why are we limiting ourselves? Why are we living bitsumsum? We have to open the door of our aspirations and strive for the top. We have to finish the entire Talmud. We have to finish the entire Humash. Nebi'im, Ketubim. These should be our goals. These should be our aspirations. These should be our objectives. To know every pasuk in the Torah with Pirush Rashi, and then Ramban, and then Urhaim, there's so much. Could a person ever say, I know everything? You know all the books in the library over here? There's so much work to be done. We can have classes every night for 10 hours a night for 50 years? And then already after that, what will we say? We're just beginning to understand what the Torah says. But don't write yourselves off. Don't let the Yetzirah think it's not for you. It's out of your capability. There's a famous mashal the rabbis give. There was a man that had a job as a mountain chiseler. It was a mountain chiseler. He stays at the bottom of the mountain, he has a little hammer, and he chisels the mountain to make stone. And one day, standing on the bottom of the mountain, he's saying to himself, what am I doing over here? What kind of profession is this? What a low job. What a low-class job I have. Man, I'm miskin. And as he's crying about himself, he looks in the street in front of him on the road. He sees the carriage of the king. He sees the king sitting on a robe with a kitten on his head, with all the grandeur. He says, wow, the king is powerful. I wish I was the king. They listen. He turned into the king. Ah. Now he's the king. He says, nah, now I'm powerful. Now I have ability. Now I have strength. And as he's on the carriage, the sun comes out and the sun starts to beat on the king. And the king starts to sweat. And he's about to pass out and he says to himself, I thought the king was the most powerful thing in the world. But the sun is even more powerful than the king. I want to be the sun. He becomes the sun. He's making everybody hot. He makes people sweat, piss out, uncomfortable. Hey, yes, koach. And as he's shining, comes a cloud and covers him. He says, where am I? What happened? He says, the cloud is more powerful than the sun. It can cover the sun. I made a mistake. Cloud. He turns into a cloud. And he fills the whole sky, and he becomes dark, and he's causing fear. So, this is power. And all of a sudden the wind comes, and the wind starts to blow the cloud out of control. He says, well, who's doing this to me? What's happening? So this is the wind. Ah, what a koach the wind has. I have to be the wind. They make him the wind. He's making tornadoes and storms. Ah, what a koach. And as he's blowing one day, there's a mountain in front of him. And the wind is not able to penetrate the mountain. He says, this mountain is powerful. Even the wind cannot penetrate. I should be a mountain. And he becomes a mountain. He says, now I'm the most powerful thing in the world. And he looks at the bottom. And he sees himself chiseling the mountain. And he says to himself, I was the most powerful man in the world. And I didn't even know it. And this is the Musar. It's all in the Ratzon. It's all the way you think. If you think you have the capability, you'll find the capability. If you don't think that it's important, if you don't have a desire, if you don't have a will, you won't be successful in anything. It all depends on the Ratzon. And then once you have that Ratzon, to move, to grow. Shi'ur, after a shi'ur, tefillah, sedakah. Never to say, ah, Baruch Hashem. Once you say Baruch Hashem to relax, hamas. When you eat the matzah on Pesach, you have to remember, if those men and ladies in the matzah bakery would have taken a break, you would not be able to have this matzah tonight. That's your life. Life is a matzah. Life is work. Life is action. It's toil. It's elevation. Get rid of all the hametz before Pesach. We don't want to see hametz. That's against everything we're here for. Burn the hametz. Tashbitu se'or mebatechem. But more important, tashbitu se'or melibbechem. We have to get rid of se'or shebaisa, that yeast that's in the dough. The yetzer hara. Or la'arba asad votkin et ha'ametz le'or ha'ner. We're checking the hametz that causes us to stagnate. That causes us to be stationary and not move. Olam kadur. The world is round. We have to be like a ball, constantly moving. And Be'ezrat Hashem, if we can fulfill that, And on us the Pasuk will say, Yelechu mechayil el hayil, Yira'eh el Elohim b'siyon. Yira'son, that we should go lemala, ma'ala, ben be'olam hazeh, ben be'olam abba. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen v'amen, Rabbi Hanan b'kashah, amen, Asakar, Baruch Hu, Zikur Yisrael. Lefitha, Kerbal, and Tazot, Shneimar, Adonai, Hafez, Leman, Zidko, Yitorah, Ve'yadir.